evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being captured by ISIS.
Yes, yes.
We'll get there. The number to call in is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click on chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hey, how's it going?
And Pip is out this week.
Yes.
We are Pipless.
Yes, we're Pipless.
We'll get Pip back next week.
Pip will continue next week.
Well, I think she's still in the process of doing whatever she's doing. She's just not doing it here.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
So Pip will regale us with tales of cats and cover bands next week.
Cats and cover bands.
Cats and cover bands. The Pip Helix Chronicles.
It's cats and cover bands.
Sure. Got a fun show tonight. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Eddie Murphy and Bill Cosby as they're the focus of our comics in the news because Eddie Murphy did not want to goof on Bill Cosby on the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special. We'll get into that, discuss whether he did the right thing or not. A nasty computer virus that I got that I'm going to warn everybody about. This was a real humdinger.
Warning, warning.
I wish I had that. So I'll tell you what happened to me and how you can avoid it. And, of course, we will see what stage of denial Ann Jackson is in.
Let's join in. What state of denial she's in.
Yeah, we'll see where she's up to. Because remember last week, I pretty much said bye-bye to Ann. I said, I had enough. You don't get this stuff. I don't like the way you talk about Americans. I said, good day.
Good day.
So we'll see if I am finished with Ms. Jackson. Or as Joe likes to think, but wait, there's more.
But wait, I know. She just perplexes the hell out of me, this woman.
She did it to a lot of people. At least it didn't cost you any money.
I know. It's just, I don't like being perplexed.
Yet you live in that state yourself.
I know. It's the state of perplexion.
It certainly is. So I just found out something right before we went on the air. Joe can comment about this. I'm sure he'll have his opinions. Turns out yours truly will be coaching girls softball this year for my daughter.
I think that's great.
You do?
I do, and I'll tell you why. Because
for stories for the show?
Well, that too, but basically last year with the coaches that you weren't that thrilled with the coaching.
Well, the fall coach, the one who I coached with the fall, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
My wife actually was hoping that she would be drafted by that coach, by that head coach, mm-hmm. and I would be an assistant coach
right.
on that team, because then she would have the best of both worlds.
Right, right.
She's fantastic.
Right, right. But I think that would be great. Now, is that going to interfere with your softball career as well?
Well, I think my ability interferes with my softball career, but I've told them I can't make Tuesday nights.
Right.
Because, you know, I gotta do this because our minions need us. I might miss some softball games. I can't miss comedy gigs for it, but I will miss my softball game.
Now, what do you mean your ability? I mean, you do have very good skills. Is it that you're getting older?
I'm no certainly
I, older. You know, and I'm not being a tool, dude. I mean, it happens. And
I separated my shoulder by sleeping.
The past couple of years, you've been on the DL a couple of times.
No, last year I was. The year before, I was healthy.
Okay.
But, you know, I've been dealt areas of subterfuge by people where I give them my all, and this is something I'm trying to work on in other areas of my life. I give people my all. Mm-hmm. I give my team my all. I sacrifice all, whether it be my body, emotions, my time, and it's not often appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the team that I was on last year for the first time, I gave them everything. I mean, there was points I was playing I couldn't walk and I couldn't throw. I could still hit, but I couldn't walk and couldn't throw, and I was still playing, and I sold my body out and everything.
It's a sad fact because basically I got 10 years on you, and you get to a point. I've always been in relatively good health. I'm you know usually like an ox,
certainly think like one.
All right, happy birthday. I gave you a present on that one.
Appreciate it.
But I've always been like an ox. But it gets to a point where I just don't have the stamina. I don't have the energy to do physical work anymore.
I'll give you an example. Last year while I was still healthy, a former high school baseball teammate of mine, who was way better than me in high school baseball.
Yeah.
He was a starter. He was a catcher. He could hit. I was on the bench.
Yeah.
He was much better than me. In an adjacent field, I guess he was coaching like a little league game or
right.
something like that. And I guess he saw me running. I didn't know I was going to be there. I mean, this is mm-hmm. in upstate New York. And he saw me running, and he came over to me. He's like, my God, how are you? He's like, I don't remember you running that fast. So, I mean, I still have ability – but I don't have a team that's loyal to me. Mm. I think, like last year, I played on three different teams.
Well, you see that you're overextending yourself, okay? And it's tough to be in a group situation where we and I find that with myself. I mean, I'm constantly juggling. Well, this show, the Tuesday is a constant, and getting the workload done is kind of, you know, I finagle it. But with the band, it's tough. I mean, Monday nights with the band is kind of a religion because it's the one that we all can make it.
Right.
So that's, and you know, with other projects and stuff like that, with the play and stuff like that, it's tough to schedule time with Cammy, but we're figuring that out and stuff like that. But it's just trying, especially like with the band, we're lucky because basically back in the day, 20 years ago, the band had rehearsal on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that was it. But everybody could make it because we didn't have kids, we didn't have families. We had no,
it's different when you're an adult.
It's different when you're an adult. You're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get a band together for rehearsal. It's like maddening. So we finally got Mondays, and it's like, all right, Mondays in my world, Monday is a block date, like Tuesday is a block date. Because the show, you know, the show is a constant, and band practice Monday, thank God, is a constant. So, you know.
Well, I mean, for me, I was playing in a bunch of different leagues, and I love playing ball. It's the most ball I've probably ever played.
Right.
Love it. You know, I hurt myself, a freak injury, whatever, running. freak injury for an old fart like myself. but you know what? Like the year before where my loyalty wasn't appreciated in a league that I helped found. This year, not in a league that I helped found, but, you know, I was a constant. People were always missing time, and, you know, I was playing hurt and contributing and doing well. Well, that team that I was on contracted, and I won't be on the new version of it. So I don't know what's going to be. I think I'm playing with Walt of Jester's Comedy Club.
Okay, cool.
Which is fun, because that's just so lighthearted.
Now is you're playing with Walt. Jester's has its own team?
Yeah, Jester's has its own
team. All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come up here, I'm sure you could play too if you wanted.
I mean, I love Walt. Great dude, great club. I drive a 2 hours play softball.
I would. But
plus, yeah, between, you know, the band and my comedy and the workload here, no, I can't.
No, it's crazy. But yeah, I'm supposed to be on Walt's team. I mean, that was a team where they needed somebody to fill in, and I filled in while I was still healthy one game.
Right.
And they really liked me, and I stuck with them and everything. And I like playing with them. So I think I'm down to one team, but who knows? If that doesn't get off the ground, my softball career might have ended last year. Who knows? It's just frustrating.
There were some times when you decide that due to your age you can't do some things. When I, like, I used to do my fence side jobs. I was in the fence business 15 years, and I used to pick up side jobs. And about six, seven years ago, I hung it up. I was doing a job. The digging was fine. It was clear as a bell. And it just took me forever to get the fencing installed because I was older. I just couldn't. I could still do it.
I mean, I have to maintain, get myself in shape and everything. I can still do it. Listen, I'm playing volleyball again for the first time 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. Since the first time my daughter was born, we're going down there and playing volleyball on Wednesday nights. Not going this Wednesday night because I got to do a coaching thing for my kid. But
I think volleyball is as demanding.
Of course it is.
Is it?
The way I play it is.
Right.
I mean, I'm diving on the gym floor. My first game back. I dove. I didn't get there. There's the difference. I didn't get there. Smashed my elbow and everything right on the point of my elbow.
I just, you know, I'm not taking anything away from volleyball. I love volleyball. Volleyball's fun, and so is softball. But I, for some reason, I just think, I know there's more movement, but I think the propensity to get injured, well, maybe it's close, but I just,
You're using different muscles.
Yeah, but for some reason, I think volleyball, because it's, in a way, it's more controlled. You could see things, because the volleyball doesn't move as fast as a baseball does. So you can, and okay, that's.
So you're saying the muscle, you don't have to be as quick.
You don't have to be as quick.
But your body doesn't think that way. Either way a ball's coming, your body reacts, get it.
Yeah.
Now, true softball, if it's hit or thrown, is on you quicker in most cases than a volleyball. But your body still reacts with those twitch muscles and everything.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think. I mean, I'm not a very tall person, but I could always go up in the front line and block the big guys and get it over and everything. I had pretty good ups. I'm pretty athletic. I might not look it, but I'm a decent athlete. I've noticed I don't think I'm jumping as high as I was 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, I'm still good up there.
Well, it's not the jumping. It's that spike shot. When you go to see somebody getting that spike shot, like, holy cow, and you go to run, that's like when the jerking comes, you know?
Is that when the jerky comes from? I find it's after some Merlot.
I find the spike is quite ironic, frankly.
Okay, just kidding. Just spike. No, I mean, listen, I know the my athletic career is winding down. Mm. I enjoy it too much. But this is cool what I'm doing with my daughter and everything. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I've never coached little kids.
Yeah, you ran this show for 3.5 years.
Well, that's true. I'm really bad with names. Like I coached those kids in the fall, but I was an assistant coach. I couldn't remember the names.
I don't – now, I find that hard to believe, and I'll tell you why. Because basically during a show, you're very good with calling back in a show. You're very good with going back, and that's, you know, something – you know, I mean, that takes memory, you know, a decent amount of memory.
I'm terrible with names. I can't remember the names of the kids. And I coached them. I saw them a couple times a week fall. You know, I was helping out and everything, and I enjoyed it and everything. I really didn't want to be a head coach, but they needed somebody to step up, and I guess it was me. I really wanted to be an assistant coach. I would have loved to have coached, helped with the woman who ran it in the fall. I would have loved to have been her assistant. She's very good. I have a lot of respect for her. She has passion. She believes in the same thing I do, that you hustle and you compete and you have fun. Everything that I believe these kids should be doing in everything.
Right, at that age, they have fun thing. I still believe that they should keep scoring, stuff like that.
Oh, they keep scoring?
Yeah.
Oh, they keep scoring.
You know, and like, but the fun thing is still part of it. I mean, well, just have a good time.
Listen, unless you're getting paid, it should be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I have more fun winning.
I, you know, like I said, I don't have kids, but I heard so many stories from friends and coworkers where they go to the kids' sport and they have like the parents just like some of the guys coaching, they just take the fun out of it.
I'm not going to do that. I feel pretty confident that if a parent annoys me, I won't take it for very long, and they'll deal with what you and Pip deal with. when I get irritated, which will be a cutting comment that'll probably send them scurrying, because you guys do not have the scab. They will not have the scab buildup that you and Pip have. You know.
You know what though? Let me tell you something. That could be a problem. I'll tell you why. Because we're used to talking with comics. And we're used to.
Even comics are more sensitive than we are.
But sometimes, but you're like, stupid moron, you're a clown, you're, yeah. And it, you know, and it's like sometimes, you know, I'll make a comment with somebody, you know, that I know very well, and I go, stupid, somebody, you know, I go, oh. They go, what'd you call me? I'm like, oh, it's a term of endearment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could see, like, if, like, a coach, like, asked me, I'm not a coach, a kid, a parent asked me something silly, and I could just see me, like, not remembering where I am and go, really stupid? Which you don't want to do in front of their little girl.
I know, and like I said, if one of the little girls makes a mistake, you can't go, really, really?
No, I wouldn't.
You gotta go, honey bunch, you gotta, you know.
You gotta remember, I've already worked with a lot of these
kids. Yeah, right.
I'll be cool like that. You know, I just want them to have a good experience. And I said to the commissioner, I go, listen, man, I don't want to be a detriment, but, you know, I travel. I don't, you know, I'm going to be around there as much as I can. Mm. I wanted to coach. I think it's worse if the manager, the head coach, isn't there than if an assistant isn't there. But you know what? They needed somebody to step up. There's only three teams.
Well, you know what? You go in a situation like that, you go in and go, look, I'm life to help. Here's the deal. This is when I'm available. I'm an entertainer. I have things I have to do. Nights I'm committed. But my free time, I will work with it. And if they could deal with that, you know, that's fine. It's like anything, you know, any other project or any other thing you get involved with, you know that, you know, you have your thing you have to do. But after that, any available free time is, you know, is for you.
My dad coached me 1 year in Little League because the head coach quit. So my dad stepped in. My dad was the type of guy that would bend over backwards. Like, I should have been hitting, like, cleanup or third because I was, like, the best hitter on the team. But I didn't because I was, like, my...
Now, did your dad bring up, like, when he was coaching you, did he bring up things you're not doing in playing the game as well as things you're doing in life?
Huh?
Well, I'll give you an example. My mom played piano. My mom taught me to play, was trying to teach me how to play piano. It didn't work out because it's like you didn't, when you hit the E in the third measure again, you got to try it again. Just like everything else, Joseph. You know, you don't listen, you don't put, you know. So she takes
I'm not playing a passage
correctly because it's not due to that. I got to really get the dexterity of playing it down. It's just me and the way I carry my life
I do recall I was playing shortstop, and I used to be really good at stopping the ball. But for some reason, I would stop and I couldn't pick it up.
Right.
I don't know. I guess I panicked. I was nervous. I was like 12, 13-year-old kid. I was nervous, which is ridiculous. Couldn't pick it up. He goes. What? Because we used to watch wrestling. He goes, what is the ball? Foreign object to you? I go, well, it was made in Taiwan. he started laughing. So even then, no, I mean, listen, I'm happy to do this with my daughter and for my daughter.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do this for the other kids. I just want to do a good job. I've coached in adult softball. Mm-hmm. I've been the head coach and I'm much more laid back now. I'm much more chill than I was when I was coaching adults in my 20s and everything, where I actually was fighting with my own team, a physical fight with my own team, and threw my dad off of me as he tried to hold me back. I'm much more chill now.
You get that way.
I mean, I think you would even say I'm much more chill than I was 2 years ago when we had our disagreement.
Much more. That happens with age. Like when we get together with Rotgut, uh-huh, and stuff like that, or Mr. Potato Head, the bands that Joe has led. Joe used to be a tight. Hey, you know, to his credit, I mean, he ran a tight ship, and I learned a really good work ethic and, you know, tutelage under him. He's always been my mentor. But when Rocket or Potato Head gets together lately, you know, maybe because it's just a one-off gig or whatever, he's not the taskmaster he usually is. And I told him, I go, well, I usually crack the whip on that. He goes, no, man, you'll get it for the gig. I know, man. He goes, yeah, you know, you get to a certain age.
I think that's what it is. You just chill. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like even like this week for this show, there was something you didn't get. And like, my first impulse was to write something really nasty for the song that we got coming up when you wrote that email. But then I just like, you know what, take a step back, explain it again. And that was the way that worked. That worked the best.
I think we both learned that, because when I wrote that, I'm like, I sent it and I'm like, that didn't come out the way I wanted. And you know what? And a lot of times, Dav, you've gotten a lot better with it. And one of the thing problems had, you write the way you don't, when you want to say something, you don't write it that way.
Well, I've said this before with you. I can either say too much or I can say too little. I don't know the sweet spot for you.
But then when I wrote that yesterday, I'm like, that's a little heavy handed. Well, when he comes back, Storm and Norman, I'll just go, I apologize, dude. But, and then when you came back and told me what the context was, I felt so bad, because I'm like, how could I have not have remembered that?
No, I mean, it's just,
I mean, when you pointed that out, I was so embarrassed, because I'm like, you imbecile, how stupid could you be? He told you, he explained it to you, and you listened to it for 2 hours, you worked on it, and you didn't even catch that? So I was very upset with myself. I could, sometimes, dude, there will be things where maybe at the pace I'm running, I don't catch.
Well, that happens when we run ourselves ragged.
And I know, and it's like, I should have caught that. And it scares me sometimes, well, because I was kind of heavy-handed, and I was totally I was totally in the wrong. It shook me up a little bit. You know.
But you know what? I think as I've mellowed, and I guess what you're saying is it worked. You know, just a more soft approach. You know, instead of like going rah 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 rah, just explain. Oh, here's what we're doing. Ba ba ba, and this is why, and it worked out.
I know. Because when I saw that, I'm like, oh, for Christ's sakes. All right. All right. I'll get up. I'll early. And like I said, I was really limited on time, because I have to write the blog. I had to make the time this morning, because I was in the wrong. I felt I was in the wrong. So I had, you know.
We got those clips coming this week, too?
They'll be later in the week. It's going to probably be Friday. As well. They're ready to go.
Are you getting them by Thursday?
No. It's going to be Friday.
Because I got to get James to put them up on. they got to go up on iHeart.
Well, they probably aren't going to be done till Friday.
This weekend, your schedule's light. Put some extra clips on. Do some extra clips. Because the comedy schedule's light. All right, but that just happened right before the show. So remember, I've spoken about this before on our show. I have the neighbor from Sweden. Sweet guy, you've met him. The gentleman next door we used to when you guys were out smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, real sweet guy. He moved to Sweden. So he kept the house.
Mm.
He rented the house. And he rented to a couple guys in their 20s. And, you know, that's not ideal for anybody. Nobody wants to rent to a bunch of guys in their 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was in college, it was hard to find an apartment because people are wary and everything. But one of them was supposedly friends with my neighbor's youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So fine. So my wife meets the two that are supposed to live there. Says they're real nice. My wife and the kid give them muffins.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next day, a couple days later, they come over with cookies. You know, I never really meet anybody.
Right.
But, you know, the kids are really sweet. Okay, that's cool. You know, I told you how they annoy me by parking in the middle of the street with the damn snowplow a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, whatever. So there's only supposed to be two people living there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's clearly more than two people living there.
I was leaving last week to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out. I didn't see anybody, but it reminded me of the apartment, Ant's apartment back in the day.
Coming and going, right? Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. So their water heater leaked when we were having all of our issues with my water heater. And so I knocked on the door, and then there was somebody who I didn't know was living there. So I dealt with him and everything. And then one day their house door was open, and there was this waft coming over, floating over on our front yard, and my daughter was walking back into our house, and what was that smell?
That must have been weed.
That was weed. Usher the kid, get it. Don't worry about that.
Daddy, I'm hungry. All right, don't worry.
Can we just chill and eat Cheetos?
And so you're like, right on. No, no, we can't. You got to do your homework.
Getting a stupid contact, huh? Yeah. All right. You know what? They're young. They're going to smoke. It's none of our business. Could you not smoke so much that it wafts out the damn
door? Yeah, blaze weed like at the end of the patio or something like that where it can't go, you know, in the front door.
Whatever. So my wife in the ensuing weeks notices a lot of traffic coming in and out of their house. The type of traffic where somebody leaves the car running, runs in for 10 or 20 minutes, comes back out, leaves. That type of traffic.
Maybe they wanted to say hello.
A lot of quick hellos.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's been some of the little dealings being done.
Who are we to cast aspersions? A lot of quick hellos. And I must tell you, some of them.
Like I said, sounds like the old apartment.
Some of them did not look like the type of people that would be friends with young 20-year-old men. Some of them looked older and heavier and more disheveled.
Oh, no.
And this is coming in and out and everything. So you're just like, ugh, really? But who are we to cast aspersions?
The chat's saying it's medicinal. Yes, you got a dispensary running up there.
They're very sick 20-year-olds, and they're doing the Lord's work. It's Obamacare, really. They're just dispensing medicine. Clearly big liberals.
If you've been going to a dealer, you can keep that dealer.
So you're saying they were dealers. You're going on the marijuana limb.
Well, it ain't Mayberry up there. Nobody's just dropping it to say hi every 10 minutes. That's like a girl. I was seeing years ago, and she had a flower stand on the corner of major thoroughfares, Jericho Turnpike and Elwood Road.
Sounds lovely.
Major thoroughfare, and she drove a BMW. And I'm like,
everybody loves flowers.
I know. So I was telling my buddy Frank, I go, she's got a little money. I go, and she's got a pretty much new BMW. How does she make that money selling flowers? My buddy Frank goes, because he ain't just selling flowers, you asshole.
Well, here's the thing. Their cars were pretty crappy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right. So this is going on to the point where now the wife is writing down license plate numbers.
Ah.
And the neighbor across the street and that neighbor next to him had raised in my head that they suspected some weed was being sold out of there. Oh, drug dealers. Not really the type of thing you want in your neighborhood.
Yeah, really.
So, and a couple times I went into the basement within the past couple weeks where we were doing the show.
Right.
And I walked over by the computer, the other computer, the PC, which is a shared wall. And I thought I smelled weed through the wall. But I'm home alone. How do I know? Maybe it's not weed. I don't want to cast aspersions, Joe.
It's weed. I mean, it's like when you smell weed. It's not weeds. Doesn't smell like anything else. Okay, you know when you smell weed, you're like, wow, that's weed, man.
But I've never smoked. I mean, I've been around. I've passed the dube.
Mm-hmm.
I've never smoked the dube, so I'm not the connoisseur.
You never smoked pot?
No, we know this. I've never done a drug. Never smoked a cigarette.
Okay.
People think I don't drink too. I'm like, I drink.
I don't think you.
I've drank the
only time we drank, and I kind of made you drink, is when we were working in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
We drank a couple of times together.
I know we have, but there was one night. It was Harrisburg, and I remember I bought two Coors Lights and a shot of Jack Daniels for $10. And I go, they go $10. So I come back and I go, we're gonna stay. Oh, I'm a little tired. No, you're not. I go, this is the bargain of the century here. We're hanging out.
You owe it to your liver to drink.
And it was just when we got back, I think when we just, I c- just came back to the show, mm-hmm. and we were talking about a lot of stuff where we want to go. So there was a lot of stuff to discuss, but I'm like, we'll do that over some cocktails.
But I drink. But people think I don't drink. Like Denise at Bananas says, well, you don't drink. I go, I drink. She's like, well, you don't drink when you're here. I'm like, no, I'm working.
I know. But the funny thing about it is, too, when I go to the compound, you'll see pictures of me at the compound, and I'll be holding, like, a beer and a shot. And I walk around. People go to me at the compound parties. Man, you could still party. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold the phone. Yeah, at the compound. I'm a member of the Sunrise Club. I'll party till
there's expectation.
There's an expectation. I'll party till sunrise. I'll party. But that's the parties. I mean, during the week, I mean, I don't drink. If I'm at the club, I will have two.
Well, we saw what
after
happened.
I'm done. After I'm done performing, I'll have two.
Well, we also what happened when you smoke after a show at the compound.
Oh yes, yes, yes. I have to lie.
Night.
I have to lie down. Ooh, wow, I'm
sleepy.
That was some shit. But anyway,
sorry. No. Me and Ann talked a lot of good shop that night.
Oh, that you know, I was talking to a buddy about that a couple of weeks ago, and that night a certain acquaintance of Ant's had some really good stuff, which I didn't know. I took one poke, and we were sitting at the table talking, and I was like starting to leave my skin.
No, it wasn't your skin. It was actually the premises.
Yeah.
You actually went outside. I had to go outside.
But sometimes I'll blaze one up, you know, and it's, you know, and it's you know, nice or something. Also, you know, hash is really fun. Hash is like the Pepsi Cola of drugs. Because, you know, because, like, sometimes we didn't have weed back in the day. You'd smoke hash.
I don't even know what the difference is.
Oh, it's just a nicer buzz. And okay. You'd sit there and go, you know what? We should smoke hash more often. Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with Pepsi Cola, but
because it's like, you know, like you get Coke and then like Pepsi's the like the second best, you know.
Okay. So, okay. No. Interesting. Yeah. Maybe the drugs did have an effect on your head. So the other day on Sunday I'm out shoveling, and the neighbor on the other side of this neighbor, so we're sandwiching him, asked if we heard the music from Saturday night blasting really late. I'm like, I wasn't even home. I didn't hear anything. So then we start talking about some suspicions with the other neighbor. He's like, He's like, well, you know, maybe I'll go talk to him. I have a friend on the force, on the police force.
Uh-oh.
He's like, well, you know, maybe I'll do something. Okay. And my wife wants to go over there. And she wants to tell the nice fellas, listen, this is a nice neighborhood. You got to be more discreet about what you're doing. We don't want this here. She wants to have that conversation with them. Everybody wants to have a conversation. I'm the only pussy that doesn't want to have a conversation. I talk to people all the time. People already think I'm an asshole. I don't want to have this conversation. Go on, wife. You handle this. I'm going to stay home and watch the Devils on TV. I really don't want to have this conversation. I don't know these kids. I don't want to be involved in this shit. But it's right in my area. I have no choice.
Right in your area. It's right next door.
Actually, it's wafting in my house. Fine. Okay. So we'll fast forward to yesterday. So the kid comes home from school. I have to go to the post office. She's 8 years old. We don't usually leave her alone in the house very often. But I'm going for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's freezing cold. She's got homework to do. We got karate and family martial arts. Doesn't make sense for me to drag her out there. She knows you don't answer the door. You don't pick up the phone unless the caller ID says me or mommy.
If somebody asks for papers, you don't have some.
Quick story. you see that tool chest over there?
Yeah.
It says paint rollers. My you see the wife labeled everything, yes. The drawers. I had to get something in the drawer. I looked real quick. The one little label says paint rollers. And underneath it says sandpaper. I looked real quick. I'm like, oh, cool. We have a drawer full of rolling papers. And I posted that on Facebook, hashtag false hope, which is really ironic when you get to the conclusion of this story.
You know.
All right. We are back. And, I mean, I'm handling it very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just a pain in the ass that I'll have to deal with later on. So I go into the house. I mean, I'm talking to one of the cops, having a good time and everything. I'm like, you need some coffee or anything? Well, actually, I didn't say coffee. I can't. I don't know how to make coffee. I've never made coffee. I can offer you a bottle of water. I'm like, I had no idea this was going on. So I go, my daughter's fine. She's oblivious to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Yeah, so she didn't know. She didn't know Dragnet was going down next door. Unbelievable. So, yeah, so they get hauled away.
Mm-hmm.
The house is empty. The lights are on and everything. So today I get a knock on the door. It's my neighbor, the guy who used to live there, his ex-wife, because I guess she's keeping an eye on the place.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess a lot of people were.
Yeah. Exactly. So she's like, is there anybody in there? I go, I don't think so. I think, you know, the cops pretty much cleaned it out. You know, clocked the door. That's what the neighbor across the street said. And I could tell she's apprehensive. I'm like, do you want me to go in with you? She's like, would you? I'm like, yeah, I'll go in with you. It's fine. So I, we go in, and oh my God, what a pigsty. Now, I don't know if the, you know, because the cops have pretty much been through everything.
Yeah, they're going to ransack the joint.
I mean, but there's bags of trash on the deck in the backyard.
Nice.
There's broken wooden closet doors and everything. Just a porn on the table, which is fun. I think it was something like favorite horrors or something. I don't know. This is nice. They do have a lovely breakfront, like entertainment thing, you know, with glass and everything. It was nice to show. It was nice because it gave them a place to show off their various bongs that they had in the living room. I mean, the place was just ugh. But my wife was very excited because there's an outside couch that the neighbor had given to us. That he bought it for himself, but the wife and the kid liked sitting on it. Okay. And he moved away. He's like, well, you can have it. So one day, the kids took the cushion on it. And they told the wife, well, to protect it from the weather. The wife was very distraught by this. She liked that guy. I'm like, really? Did you? Really? We could get a new one. Relax. But she liked it. Okay. Well, I went in there and I reclaimed that.
Right.
I'm hoping there's no drugs in there. I'm hoping there's no cocaine or whatever else these assholes were doing.
Oh, I could just see they talk about, okay, now talk. All right, there's 5 kilos of heroin in this couch cushion that we hit. Meanwhile, stupid's lounging on it.
I mean, just unbelievable. Mm. I mean, if you were in my position and you suspected something, would you have called the cops?
I don't know. I mean, it's I would maybe talk to the guys.
So you would have gone over.
I would have said, "Look, man, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing. I smell weed. Can you just be cool?" If there were being a problem, if I see people coming in and out, and it's starting to be a problem,
a lot. Like, and sometimes people would go really slow past the house and then peel out, which is never good.
You know what? I would call the cops. I'd talk to the cops. I would go down to the precinct, and I would go down to, and I would talk to the cops and go, look, I think something's going on.
Well, apparently that's all it takes. I didn't know the protocol. All you have to do is have a suspicion. Mm. So, Joe, I would be nicer to your neighbors if I was you.
No, I'm doing nothing wrong.
No, I know that, but if they have a suspicion, you might get a knock-knock.
Okay, I got nothing to hide.
It was just weird. I'm the one getting questioned. And then there was one, like, really cool cop. Like, the other ones are busting my balls.
Well, I would be Crimson Cat. Hi, Crimson Cat. But I would be Cat. I would be pissed off. You know, I'm trying to get my, you know, why is your kid alone? Because I just went to mail a letter. She's doing a whole, and then leave her at the fucking bus station. It's in her own, she's in her own room with her own shit. I went to mail a letter. I didn't know you guys were going to have a dragnet today.
Well, that was cool. I did have to explain to her why those people would no longer be living there. They were selling drugs. What are drugs, Daddy? Well, first, I'm glad you don't know.
I would have just told them that they had to leave and go to another town, and the cops were helping them move.
Then why is all their shit still in the house?
Well, they were taken out in cuffs because they really liked it there, but they needed to go somewhere else.
Those aren't handcuffs. Those are bracelets.
Yeah, right.
Well, honey, they were selling drugs. What are drugs? All right, good that you don't know what that is. Things that are very bad for you.
What time for a life lesson?
It was cold. I came back from karate. It had been a long day. I wasn't in the mood to be a parent. And it is broken.
This is, Sharu says, this is what happens when Pip is not there to supervise.
It has nothing to do with Pip. I run the show, stupid.
Be nice to Sharu.
Hi, Sharu. Glad you can be back to bust my balls.
Yeah, Strawberry Letter says Joe is holding the sound hostage.
It's already usually holds the laughs hostage.
Oh, boy.
Now, this really has nothing to do with Joe, myself, or Pip. No, I mean, I don't know what this is. The broadcaster's just fucking up.
Yeah, and then she said, Liza's saying that it's intermittent.
Lisa. Yeah, I mean, it's fine now. I don't know why it's stopping. All right. I might reboot the computer.
Reboot.
I might reboot.
Reboot.
I might reboot. I'm going to try this one more time.
Reboot.
And if we freeze again.
We reboot.
I will reboot.
We will reboot.
Maybe that will help it. The plug was falling out.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Let's hope, Joe.
Right.
I stuck it in. Now, I find when I stick things in, they make me happy.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of times, like, sometimes when I get the keyboards up and I'm going, why the hell isn't this one working? Well, maybe if I turn the sound up on it, it'll make a noise.
I really think I'm hopeful that it was the plug. If it's not the plug, we're fucked.
Lisa says it's a test of your loyal fans. Thank you. Please be patient with us.
You know what, Lisa? In our defense, every show's a test of our loyal fans.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And then Crimson goes, well, duh.
Thank you
for putting up with us in our shit equipment.
Tom must not be in there if our boys.
No, Tom was having a problem. Tom was having a problem getting a internet.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
No. Don't. Well, hopefully Tom will wander someplace and find a good one.
Yes.
We Godspeed, Tom.
Trying to find a hot spot.
Sure. All right. So then let's get to this weekend. Who is that? Donnie? Is that Donnie? Hold on. Yes. What's up? My Sam is crapping out every 5 minutes.
Nah, fam.
Sam is crapping out.
Thank you, Lisa. We love you guys too.
We love everybody.
Yes.
I don't really love the neighbors that used to live there.
Yeah. Well, they were removed by the police.
5 minutes.
If David just went to the police, this never would have happened. There's a lesson for us all, folks.
What was that from? Was that from Woody?
That was Woody Woodpecker.
Is that what that was? Woody,
yeah, Woody went right to the police. This never would have happened. But there's a lesson for us all that if you smell the sound of marijuana, you should go to the police and tell them what's going on.
I'm really hoping that it was the fact that the cable was slipping out and it was my fault for not double checking.
Right.
I'm hoping that's what it is.
Well, pin the blame on you.
I would love to take the blame for this.
Oh, good. I'd love to give it to you.
Here's the thing. If it's my error, then we know what the error was.
Right, exactly.
So I'll take the blame.
Yes.
I have broad shoulders.
Right.
Sure. So then there was this weekend show. And by the time we met up, I was already beaten down by the weekend. But I will not. I will tell you what led up to the beaten man that you saw on Saturday evening. Because I would think you would say I did not have the normal glimmer in my eye.
No, and and then I did not have the glimmer in mine.
Yes. It was a nicer, kindler Davin.
Yeah, we weren't mad at each other. We were just beaten down.
Donnie goes, okay, so you checked all the plugs now.
Of course he did.
I'm a moron. All right, let's hope that's
isolate
what it was.
That.
Really wasn't necessary. So Friday night, I'm working at Portobello Banquet in Oakland, New Jersey for Side Splitting Productions. You've been there.
Yes.
Lovely place.
Nice place,
great
yes.
food. Saturday, I'm working with Joe down the Jersey Shore for another agency. Saturday, also have a private event that Side Splitting Productions booked in Binghamton, New York, a place where I took you with me once.
Oh, right. Really? Very. Oh, really? Oh,
the barbecue place.
Yes, yes. Well, I love that place. It's nice.
Yeah, it's good food, too.
Yeah.
So my dance card is full for the weekend, which is a nice change of pace. So the place in Binghamton wanted me to do the event, but I had already committed to John LaRocca.
Right.
John LaRocca, Laughter Saves Lives. Mm-hmm. He had asked me to be on the show, and he asked me also to run the show and bring sound and handle money, this, that, the other thing. I was Mr. Responsibility, which I'm happy to do. You know, whatever. It's cool. So I committed to that before this offer came in. So, but now Binghamton, they wanted me, as I said, but I couldn't do it. I said, I'll get you good comics, though. So they gave me 2 weeks to book a corporate clean show for them in Binghamton.
Right.
Not the easiest thing to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah, right. You're right. You got to grab guys. You got to make sure that. Yeah, that's tough parameters.
It is. But you know what? I do it. I book the show, and I feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty good about it. My headliners bring in sound because they asked if I could get sound. I said, you know what? Let me try to get you sound. Headliners bring in sound. Good. I can give him a couple of extra bucks, you know. To pay him extra for bringing the sound.
He was bringing sound?
Headliner was bringing sound.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was waiting for my deposit, and it was late getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been in constant contact with the owner, who my contract was with, but we were doing it, I guess, for Frito-Lay. I didn't know that until another comic told me.
Oh, really?
If I'd known it was Frito-Lay, but it would have been more. I did not know that. But he's like, yeah, I mailed it, blah, 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 blah. All right. So the owner and I are dealing with that. The place can be tricky to find.
Yes.
So I ask for the owner to give me his cell phone so I can pass that on to the comics so that they can call ahead.
Right.
And they do that. He gives me the cell phone number. They call ahead. He's not calling them back. You call the venue, and the venue, the phone number's disconnected.
Oh, but as Jesus Christ.
But as we know, the number's disconnected because he just opens up for special events. We found that out when we were there. You know, he's not a full-time restaurant anymore.
But if you know you have people, I do this with the Santa Claus gigs, where I'll get the contact and people, I get your voicemail, stuff like that. If you know you may have people calling, make sure you have a line that you can get that people can reach you at.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to argue. No, Joe, that's unrealistic. No, I agree.
That's unrealistic.
I agree with you.
Right.
At one point, the headliner said somebody picked up the phone and said he was not the owner, but the owner sounded like the owner. Really?
But I wonder, because it's directions. I don't give a shit if it is an imposter. Do I make a left on Main? Who cares?
I'm dealing with this on Friday morning.
Ugh.
Night before the day before the gig. Mm-hmm. There's an impending snowstorm. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and he's like, listen, man, I feel shady about it. I think he's just waiting for like numbers. I'm like, it has nothing to do with numbers. It's a private event.
Yeah.
And he's like, well,
and who was saying this? The headliner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. You know, hey man.
Oh, okay.